This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, The Marks of a Friend.
Here's a story. A soldier asked his officer if he could go out into the no man's land between the trenches in World War I to bring back a seriously wounded comrade. The officer told him that he could go, but that it wouldn't be worth it, as the man would probably be dead and the soldier could be killed as well. Nevertheless, the soldier went. He managed to get to his friend and carry him back to the trenches. The two of them fell into the trench bottom together. The officer looked sadly on the would-be rescuer and said, "I told you it wouldn't be worth it. He's dead and you're mortally wounded." "But it was worth it, sir." "How was it worth it? Your friend is dead." "Sir, it was worth it, because when I got to him, he was still alive. And he said to me, 'Jim, I knew you'd come. I knew you'd come.'" What depth would you go to for a friend? Would you do something like that? What would you do to reach an unsaved friend with the gospel of Jesus Christ? There are your friends and your loved ones laying out in the trenches out there of this world, in the mud, the muck, and the mire of a sinful life, and they're without the rescuer, they're without Jesus Christ, until you get off your comfortable couch and your fears to speak and get out and reach them. Paul says, "I'll do whatever it takes, with one exception. I won't enter into sin with them. I'll do whatever it takes to reach people for Christ, but I won't get down in the mud with them." Nothing should keep us from wanting to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with our friends. Most people are invited to come to a personal relationship with Christ by a friend. The latest research says this, and this is very the latest, something like 2/3 to 7/8 of the recent adult new members of growing churches first attended at someone's invitation. We did this little exercise a couple of weeks ago. How many of the people sitting here are here because somebody invited them? The majority raised their hands. What's missing there is the invitees that you should be speaking to. That's what's missing. And you have the opportunity to reach them for Jesus Christ, friends and relatives. Those who reach out to friends and family, you are the bridges of God. You are the bridges of God in helping the unsaved and the unchurched cross over into the Christian life. You're a bridge to Christ and salvation. You're a bridge to someone who's given up on the church. You're the bridge over which they can cross to come to know Jesus Christ as the Savior. Are you willing to be that bridge? Or are you a wall that's keeping them from knowing the Savior by your inability to reach out and say, "Being a Christian is a wonderful thing. What a wonderful life it is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus took all my burdens away. He washed away my sin," the beautiful hymn says. There's a made-up story that describes Jesus returning to heaven after being here on earth. The angels gather around the Lord to find out about all the things that happened on earth. And Jesus explains to the angels how he lived among the people, shared his teachings, expressed his love, died on the cross to atone for humanity's sins, and was resurrected to declare that the new kingdom is at hand. And when he finished telling his story, Michael, the archangel, asked the Lord, "What happens now?" And Jesus answered, "I left behind a handful of faithful men and women. They will tell the story. They will express the love. They will spread the good news." "But what if they fail?" asked Michael. "What then will be the plan?" And Jesus answered Michael by saying, "There is no other plan." This is your responsibility and mine to be instruments of God, to be storytellers. You have a story to tell, and it's just a matter of whether or not you will. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Are you happy that Christ is in your heart? Have you found fulfillment in this life? Have you found purpose? Have you discovered things you never knew before? Have you gotten into God's Word with a sense of expectation that God has something to give you? You and I must turn our passion for Christ and our compassion for people into action. It's not enough to say, I love Christ. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And one of his commandments is that we love one another. And what's the best way to express that love? The best way to express your love to your children is to see them come to Christ. The best way to express your love for your spouse is to see that person come to Christ. And that's the same love that needs to extend to friends and neighbors and other members of our family. There is a perfect model of what I'm saying in the Bible about how one of us reaches out to another to win them to Christ. And that perfect pattern and example is about how the disciples came to be Jesus' disciples. You may remember the account, and it begins with the fact that John the Baptist says to two of John the Baptist's disciples, follow Jesus. He's the one. He's the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. So go follow him. Let's pick up our text in John chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. Let's stand together as we read God's Word. John chapter 40, verses 40 to 45. They were repeating what was popular. Jesus was not the son of Joseph. He was the Son of God, but they didn't know that at the time. So that's one of the places where you say, what is that supposed to mean? That's what it means. Verse 40, as soon as Andrew found Christ, he told someone else. He told his brother, the person closest to him. He told Simon Peter. New Christians are excited about their new faith in Jesus Christ. Can you remember back? Were you excited when you found Christ as your Savior? Didn't you want to tell folks about him? Didn't you want to share Christ with your friends and the people you love? He found Simon Peter. He was excited. When you find something great, don't you want the people in your life to know about it? Now, growing up in New York and growing up among New York business people who I experienced my life with for 35 years, every time they found a new restaurant, they were only it's the best pasta anywhere in the country. You got to go to such and such a restaurant, Luigi's over on 2nd Avenue. This is the best pastrami anywhere. You want great pastrami, you got to go down to 2nd Avenue, Katz's, and I'm telling you, the pastrami is worth killing for. Hey, Vey, what a great thing. We love to tell people about the things that we find that are so terrific. If we found a new car dealer that's absolutely treated us great, we want to tell them. If we got a new refrigerator and it's terrific, we're dying to tell people about what a great refrigerator we got. It's called word of mouth. If you own a restaurant and people are shouting about how great your restaurant is, you are absolutely thrilled. It's called free advertising. Marketers work hard to try to get word of mouth because they know if they can capitalize on people's excitement about something, they are going to increase sales. Are you excited about Jesus? Is there enough word of mouth coming from you to tell people what you're excited about? Are you excited about being in this fellowship of believers? If so, why aren't you telling people? After Andrew led Peter to Christ, Philip led his brother Nathanael to the Lord. Verse 41 shows us behind every believer stands another believer. Somebody told you about Jesus and you came to Christ as your Savior because of that person. Can you remember who that person was? Can you visualize that person right now? Is there somebody in your sphere of influence whom you have brought to the Lord? And if I were to ask that person a question, would they remember it was you? They will. I remember how I got saved. I can't tell you the exact date. I can't give you the exact moment. But I can tell you the circumstances and how it changed my life as a young man whose parents just got divorced at the age of 10 and was lashing out and being very violent and doing the wrong thing and was about to be sent to reform school before I was sent to a Christian camp where I got saved. And when I come back, they said, is that the same kid? Because now Jesus was in my heart. At 10 years old, you don't know that something wonderful has changed in your life, but other people saw it in me. All four of the men who came to Jesus Christ as his first disciples went searching for the Lord, and he found them. Luke 19:10, for the Son has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's you. That's your friend. That's your neighbor. That's maybe your spouse, somebody you love. And the people, these four people, the Andrew and the rest of them, they were very different one from another. They were very much like the people in your life. Take a look at this little biographical sketch real quick. Andrew was practical. He was a level-headed guy. You could count on Andrew. But take a look at Peter. We all know about this bird. He was as hot-headed as you could possibly be. I mean, given a chance, this is the kind of guy that would lop off somebody's ear. And did, actually. Given a chance, this is the kind of guy that, after he had walked with Jesus for 3 years, under pressure, would deny him. Oh, he did that too, didn't he? Jesus didn't abandon him, did he? And then there was Philip. He was skeptical, and he was very materialistic, like a lot of your friends. They say they don't believe in God, and they don't believe in Jesus. And life for them is what they have in their hands, and what they have on their bodies, what they're wearing. It's about the kind of house they've got. You know, Jesus can save that person. But somebody's got to tell that person. And then there was Nathanael. And Nathanael was a very quiet guy. He was almost invisible to the people around him. Are there people in your life, or maybe you, that for the most part, you're in the backdrop, and you're invisible to the people around you? That was Nathanael. Can Jesus save, and can Jesus love a person like that? Jesus is like the true friend. And you know what it is? He looks for the best in us, and then the Holy Spirit brings out the best in us. Do we celebrate the good the good parts of our friends, or are we dealing in their shortcomings? Do we dwell on those things? Jesus sees him as a quiet person, reserved. He sees him as an honest man. He sees him as a person many other people have missed, because people weren't looking for this guy's good qualities. They were just looking for the fact that he was a little set back. He was a little quiet. He was the kind of guy that you really never heard from, and so they dismissed him. Jesus didn't. And Jesus said, this is one of the few people I've met in my time on earth that has no guile. In other words, that means he has no deceit. No deceit. Most of the people Jesus was coming in contact with said one thing to your face and something else behind your back, but not this guy. This guy would tell you what he thought right to your face and mean it. He was the real deal. And how many real deals are there in this life? To have a friend who's a real deal is the real deal. He was an honest and a good man, but as honest and as good as Nathanael was, he was like the rest of us, all the people of the world. He needed a savior. Goodness does not get us to heaven. Jesus does. There's the difference. In verse 48, Jesus, like a true friend, is watching out for us. Look at what he says to Nathanael. I saw you. You were under a fig tree. What was he doing under that fig tree? Was he hiding? Was he meditating? Was he hurting? Was he in despair? People wear a mask. They sit under a fig tree, if you will. They don't want to demonstrate how much they hurt. We often heard this, and Jeff and I often bounce this one back and forth to one another. Most men live lives of quiet desperation. Nobody knows what was going on in Nathanael's life, but Jesus saw him. Nobody knows necessarily what's going on in your life, but Jesus is seeing it. He knows your hurt. He knows your pain, your confusion, your doubts, your fears, your angers, your jealousies. He knows what's happening in your life, and he cares enough to step out and speak to you as a person, as a human being, as an individual. And he says to you, I'm watching out for you. Give me a chance to do it, will you? Proverbs 15:3 says this, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Every place. Proverbs 34:15, the eyes of the Lord upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. He hears you. He sees you. He cares for you. He doesn't get disgusted with us. He doesn't get disappointed with us and destroying us and just leave us to the side. He said, okay, how about we try better the next time? Wouldn't you like to have a friend like that? Who after you met, you know, I found in my life that, you know, I could say 100,000 words from this pulpit, but then I can say one sentence that bothers somebody. And that's it. That is supposed to be the mark of my entire ministry. That one sentence. And what'll happen? Seldom would I know what it is. A lot of times people just walk out grumbling, maybe tell somebody else, I'll never see them again. I'll reach out to them. They won't even answer my call. Why should anybody's life or anybody's ministry or anybody's friendship be measured by one mistake, one thing that irritated? Why can't we be seen in the whole? This is what Jesus did when he saw Nathanael. He saw the whole person. Oh, to have a friend who sees us like that. True friends are a valuable gift from God. Look at Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10, and here's just one reason why. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. In other words, if you invest in a friend, God's promised that there will be a return on your investment. How about that? Keeping track of the stock market? Here it is, verse 10. For if they fall, two of them fall, the one will lift the other up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has not another to help him up. I mean, that's what ministry is supposed to be about. We're supposed to be here for you. Your friends are supposed to be here for you. That when you fall, there's somebody willing and loving enough to pick you up and say, let's keep going on. Are there people in your life who will lift you up when you fall? And are you a person in somebody's life who will lift that person up when they fall? It is a good measuring device to determine what it means to be a friend. In verse 49, Nathanael saw and accepted Jesus for who he was. Jesus was the promised Messiah, and he never wavered from that truth. He wasn't intimidated by the highest courts of the land who said, you've got to stop calling yourself the King of the Jews. You've got to stop calling yourself the Messiah. You've got to stop calling yourself the Chosen One, because you're offending a lot of these people. Jesus wasn't intimidated by the highest political powers of the Roman Empire to say he was not the Son of God. He wasn't intimidated or turned off or knocked out by the horrific beatings and the sufferings of the cross to change his claims that he was God. Nothing could keep Jesus from proclaiming who he was and who he is. He is God in the flesh. He never tried to pretend he was somebody else so that others wouldn't be offended by who he was. You see, he knows you. He knows me. He knows us for who we are. He knows that we might pretend to other people to be somebody we're not. But he knows who we are. He knows what's going on as he peels away the layers of this flesh to reveal the real person. This is not the real Bob. The real Bob is in here looking out at you. The real you is in there looking out at me at this particular moment. It's the real person, the one nobody knows because it's the one they can't see, the one God knows, that God alone knows. Psalm 103 in verse 14 says, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows us. He designed us. He created us. He handmade us from the earth of the ground. And he knows that we've got strengths, and he knows that we've got weaknesses. He knows that we've got insecurities. He knows you fear. He knows you worry. He knows you stress out. He knows that you've got great moments of joy and great depths of sorrows. You've got challenges. You've got opportunities. And he knows you sin. Now, we can pretend among ourselves that none of those things prevail in our lives. God knows. The one who knows you best loves you most. We can't pretend with God, but we can see our friends. But can we see our friends just like that? Can we see our friends and realize that they're just as real and just as human as we are? And can we accept them for who they are? How many friendships put caveats? In other words, I'll be your friend, but how did it go when I was a kid? I like you. Do you like me? I mean, how many parents have said, you know, be a good boy until your father gets home or he'll beat the life out of you. You know, there's always a condition, some kind of condition out there. I want to give you some marks of a friend. It's the A to Z. of what it means to be a friend. A friend accepts you as you are. And my question is, how else? How else as you are? I mean, Jesus' disciples were flawed candidates. We talk about flawed candidates in the political realm. Jesus chose his disciples, and every one of them was flawed for ministry. I am a pastor who stands before you flawed for ministry. But I'm here. There isn't a judge who will ever judge a person in court who shouldn't be judged himself. Amen, 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 amen. And the people at the IRS looking into your taxes, somebody ought to be looking into theirs too. B, that person believes in you. You believe in Christ? Well, can I tell you something? He believes in you too. He's gifted you. He's given you so many blessings, and he knew you could take it. He also believes in you because he will not give you anything more than you can take. He believes in you. C, he calls to say hi. And what I really mean by that is, friendships are made in the little things. It isn't the grand things, it's the little building blocks, one brick at a time, one stone at a time, one loving, caring action at a time that strengthen relationships. Can't tell you how many times people in this congregation have called me when I needed a call the most. D, he doesn't give up on you. In the final analysis, if we can only remember this, I and you are not finished products. You are a work in process. I will be a finished product when my body is on this stage in a casket, but I'm home with the Lord, and one day when the rapture comes, this body and that soul will come together. I will then be a finished product. And you too. But right now, we're in the process of growing in our faith. So don't beat yourself up when you, like me, blow it. Just allow the Holy Spirit to pick you up and allow that friend to lift you up and keep on keeping on. E, he encourages you, a friend encourages you in your walk with Christ. He either or she either adds to your faith or subtracts from it. What kind of friends do you have? F, forgives your mistakes, not just one, but a number. And if I can pull the story off, it's got about six politically incorrect aspects to it. So there's Luigi and his wife, Rosa, in the donkey cart over there in Italy. So I'm okay on that score because it's Italian. So they're in the donkey cart and they're pulling the products in the cart to town. And the donkey's going along real good, and all of a sudden the donkey stops. And he starts yelling at the donkey and the donkey won't move. And so he pulls a gun out and he says, "Okay, that's a one." And the donkey sees that and starts going again. And then he goes along and he stops a second time. And he pulls the gun out and he says to the donkey, "That's two." And the donkey starts all over again. And then he gets another place just outside of the town, and the donkey stops a third time. And he pulls out the gun, and this time he shoots him dead. And Rosa starts yelling, "What did you do? Why did you kill the donkey?" And he turns to Rosa and he said, "Rosa, that's one." You can see there's about five politically incorrect things there. But see, God ain't like that. A real friend isn't like that. It's not the one mistake or two mistakes or three mistakes. You are privileged to live a life in which you have the God of the greatest eraser, the blood of Jesus Christ, to wash away my sin. It doesn't mean that he's happy in your sin. He doesn't want you and me to get happy in our sin, but he wants to let us know that when we sin, 1 John 1:9, I hope you know what I'm talking about. G, a friend gives, not just takes, helps, not just needs help. I, invites you over. That's a loving thing, to open your door to someone who you call friend. J, likes to just be with you when you need someone to stand beside you and hold you up. You remember the story of Moses at the Red Sea? As long as he held his arms up, the water stayed up and the armies kept coming. But he got tired. He was going to lower his arms. And then two men came along and held his arms up. And eventually, the Egyptian army came in and they were washed away. K, keeps you close to heart. We have many acquaintances, but few friends, and that's a mark of a friend. L, loves you for who you are, doesn't try to change you. Have you ever tried to change somebody? Try to change your husband or your wife? See how that works. I see somebody saying, "No, you wouldn't dare." But try that. That doesn't work. The only person that can change you in this world is the one that lives inside of you, the Holy Spirit. And that's his job, not your job, to change somebody else. M, makes a difference in your life. This person is a role model or a mentor. And never judges you. Well, you know, they can pull out, they can tell you about the things you're doing wrong, and that's an act of love. But the Bible says that Jesus said, don't judge because it's your turn next. Offer support under O. What kind of support? Physical, for sure. Emotional, for sure. Spiritual, for sure. The whole package, for sure. P, prays for you. Do you have a prayer partner in your life? A prayer warrior in your life? If you don't have one, you need one. Find one. They're here. Q, quiets your fears. R, raises your spirit. S, shares Jesus' truths with you. T, tells you the truth when you need to hear it. There's that proverb that said the wounds of a brother are really the things that help. They don't hurt. U, understands you. V, values you. W, walks beside you. Do you have somebody walking beside you in this life, or do you feel you're all alone? If you feel you're all alone in a congregation like this, then you're letting yourself feel that way, because there are people here who would love you and walk with you through your difficult times. There are people here who are going through some hard times, and they know what that means because they're not alone in it. They've got folks walking with them. Are you one of them? X, well, I had to cheat a little bit. Explains things you don't understand. And Y, yells when you won't listen. Now, if you're Italian, that's easy. But maybe some of you are too quiet for that. And Z, one of my favorites, zaps you back into reality. Because the truth is, it's not about you. Sometimes we all need a little zap. There are three reasons why people go to churches and stay there these days. Number one, because the teachings of those churches conform to their thinking about the Bible. Secondly, because the people in that church make them feel welcome and loved. And third, because the preaching speaks to those people where they are. Do we have those three things? Are those things you can share with the people around you? If the pews are not filled on friends with new faces, you have to ask yourself some questions. So I want to encourage you. This is what it means to be a friend, to care enough about them, to care enough about their spiritual life and where they're going when they die. Because my friends and my brothers and sisters, there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. What would you like for your friends? Let's pray.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.